In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, that's what the apostle of love, John, wrote in 1 John chapter 2. He said that every believer had that teaching anointing. And so you can be taught by the Holy Spirit at all times. Amen. Don't you love that? And that's what we need. We need the truth of the Spirit of God in our lives. But tonight, I want you to remember these three words, either write them down on a piece of paper, put them in your phone, or put them on the table of your heart. We're going to look at Peter's life and apply it to our life. God has protection for you. Come on, we need protection, amen? But in the midst of the protection, God has provision for you because, like I said, the devil's going to try to get in the path to hinder you and I from moving forward. So we need the provision of the Lord, amen? But and the whole time, though, this is to get you and I, like he did the Apostle Peter, in the place of promotion. God wants to be glorified in and through your life, and he wants you in a prominent place in your life to be able to walk close to him and show everybody his love. Amen. All right. With that being said, let's look at, it's hard to find a text out of this, but there's so many ands. It just keeps going and going and going. But let's start in verse 22. This is where they just had the Passover meal and Satan entered Judas. And Judas went out and betrayed Jesus, and the Lord is trying to get them in the place of what's fixing to take transpire, what's fixing to take place. But look at verse 22. Let's start right there. Luke 22:22. If you're there, say amen. And truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Talking about Judas, but I put that in there to swing. We're going to the next and. Like I said, this chapter is full of ands. But verse 23, and they begin to inquire. They begin to jointly investigate. They begin to have a quarrel. They were going to dispute together. They begin to inquire among themselves which of them it should be that would do this thing. Verse 24, and there was also strife. There was a great level of quarrelsomeness in amongst their life. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Jesus just shed his heart. He just opened up some of the most intimate details, and they're worried about themselves. Do you think the flesh has ever changed? No. Verse 25, and he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they exercise authority upon them that are called benefactors, those who are into philanthropy. He said, verse 26, but you shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doeth serve. This is the word for deacon that Paul talked about, the office of deacon in 1 Timothy. Verse 27, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is it not he that sitteth at meat? But I'm among you as he that serveth. Jesus said, I'm acting as a deacon for the whole world. I'm serving the whole world. Verse 28, ye are they which have continued, who stayed constantly with me in my temptation, my trials, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, we read all that to get the connotation of what's happening here, to get the background. Verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Peter said unto the Lord, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Verse 34. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for being here once again tonight. Thank you for standing and honoring the word. Thank you for your heart that's hungry for fellowship with Jesus. Amen. Oh, glory. All right, so let's think about this tonight. You and I, we are blood-bought, blood-washed believers, and we've been called to be disciples, just like Peter and those, and we've been called then to move from discipleship to apostleship, to be sent into all the world, because you and I, we are ministers for the Lord. We are ministers of righteousness. That's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so as we start moving closer to the will and the plan of God, the enemy is going to try to get in your path and get into my path and bring discouragement. He loves to bring confusion, because he loves to bring darkness in your life and my life. And so I think it's very good at this point, as we're moving toward the end of the year, to look at just the Apostle Peter here and apply some things that will help us. So God wants you to be in the place where you understand the fullness of his protection, and you understand that whatever he calls you and asks you to do, he's going to make complete provision for you. Whatever you have need of, it's going to be there, because he wants to you to just be a magnet, bringing him glory, drawing people to that truth that it lives in you. Amen. And then with that, you're going to always be growing. That's what we've been teaching on Sunday mornings. You're going to be growing. And then as you grow, you're going to be promoted. Amen. And that's what we want to look at. So let's talk about this tonight. Now, notice there's so much going on here. It shows us that the flesh is not changed from 2,000 years ago. It's the same as it was then. There's always going to be situations where it's about us. We get our focus on ourselves rather than on Jesus. And can you imagine what Jesus was thinking after he's just brought truths to them, and he's had this place with them, place of intimacy, and they're arguing about over stuff that doesn't matter. You know, they've got their mind on all of these things. Well, he told them who was going to betray him. You know, he said, "Who sticks his sop in the bread next to mine?" So, but see, they couldn't hear that. You know, we talked about this morning that there comes a time in our life, if we're not careful, we become dull of hearing. We have a spiritual apathy. We become sluggards in hearing the things of the Spirit. So they couldn't hear that, because there was strife among themselves. They was too busy wondering who's going to be greater than the other. Well, guess what? There's only one great one, and that's Jesus. And you and I are in him, so we don't have to question our value. We don't have to question who we are or where we are, because our value is in Jesus. It's not in what other people think about us. It's in what the Lord thinks. And the Lord thinks thoughts toward you that are good, that are precious. Amen. His heart is always toward you. So, but anyway, we got to get into what I want to talk about. I feel like the Spirit of God would have us to look real closely. Look at back down to verse 31. Notice that Jesus is using this for a teaching example to them. And since Peter is kind of the most vocal and the most boisterous, he addresses him. He says in verse 31, "The Lord said, Simon, Simon." So, you know, you hear the Lord doing this all through the Bible. When he calls your name twice, you know that he's trying to get your attention. He's trying to speak to your heart. And so he says, "Simon, Simon." So in other words, he says, Simon, you know, we've talked about it many times. It means hearing, hearing. And so he says, hearing by hearing. In other words, Simon, I'm going to tell you something. And as I tell you, if you'll hear it, you're going to be able to hear more. And you're going to be ready for what's coming your way. You're going to be in a great place of protection, a great place of provision, and a great place of promotion. But if you don't hear it, I still got some things for you. I still got a good plan for you. I'm still going to help you, but it may be rough along the way. I don't want to take the rough path, do you? Now, I know that we'll go through things, trials and temptations and all those things, but I don't want to be the one that makes my path worse. I want to walk with Jesus as close as I can. And then I know that if I'm in his will the best that I can, he's going to take care of me when I can't, because most of the time I can't. Amen. Now notice what he said. He said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold. And he said, I want you to see this in the spirit. Don't just understand it in the natural, but see it in the spirit. Satan hath desired to have you. Now, this word desired here, it means that Satan is demanding Peter to be put up to trial. He's wanting to take him to the court of heaven. And this word in the Greek is in the plural. So, in other words, Satan keeps coming to Jesus over and over and over about Peter. Now, why is that? Of course, the devil hates us. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy from us. But here we see that Peter and these other disciples, they were strife among them. They were quarreling about things. They were arguing about things. And so anytime there's strife, there's the devil. Mark it down. And so if you and I yield to what we're feeling or what we're thinking, then we open a door to the devil. And if we're in the place where we are in sin and we don't even know it or realize it, then guess what? He can demand us to go to trial. But if we're walking in the light as Jesus is in the light, we have a constant cleansing. 1 John 1:7, we're constantly being cleansed by that relationship. But if we pull out of that relationship, look out. Amen. We got to be so cautious. And so here they were. They're on that side of the cross. And I understand all of that. But still, it's a type and a shadow for us to understand on this side of the cross. So we want to make sure that if something comes up in our life, repent immediately. Immediately. And it's just as if you've never done it. Amen. It's gone and there's no open door there. But see, here, this situation that they're walking, they've been doing this over and over. You read all through the Gospels where they're arguing about who's greater, who's bigger, who's stronger, who's more popular, and all of these things. And that's a work of the flesh. And any place there's a work of the flesh, there's the devil and all of his imps. Amen. So we got to be in that place where we say, now, wait a minute, I want to be Simon. I don't want to be Peter. I know Peter's the one that helped build the church, but that he used that name because in the weakness of man, God could still build his church. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? But think about it. He said, Simon, I want you to hear this. Satan has desired, he wants to bring you to trial, and he wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to remove you from your faith, just as you would take the chaff off of wheat, for there's the seed of wheat. He's wanting to remove Simon from his faith. That's why we go through everything that we go through. The devil wants to pull you away from your faith because your faith is what pleases God. The Bible says, is it right? Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without. So, of course, the devil is going to want to do that because your faith is what makes all things possible because you believe in a God who is a God of faith. So here he is. Can you imagine? Jesus is, once again, he's bringing this truth to Simon, wanting to help him. Look what he says. We'll come back to this just in a moment. But verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So Jesus, he knows because he knows where Peter's at. He knows his attitude. He's given him an opportunity to avoid a mistake. But he knows he's going to go ahead and make that mistake because Peter's got a track record of acting very quickly, of talking very quickly, of making bad decisions. I understand that. But he said, when you are converted, when you turn back. See, that's all we got to do. We can make the biggest mistake ever, but we can turn back. That's all the word means in the Greek. It just simply means turn back to me. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, is to turn back to him in every area of our life. And if we'll do that, we're going to always be in that place of protection, provision, and promotion. Come on, he has it for us, and he had it for Peter, and he has it for you and I. But he said, I want you to be converted, and I want you to strengthen thy brethren. This word strengthen, it means to make them strong, to plant them on the rock, stake where they're not moving. They're there. So see, he's telling Simon here, he's telling Peter here, he said, listen, I've got a word for you. And that word is, I'm going to protect you because you've got something you're going to do for me in the future. And I'm going to provide what you need to be able to do it. And I'm going to promote you in front of the brethren. I'm going to promote you in the whole world where you can lift me up. Because see, the higher that you and I lift up Jesus, John 12:32, the more people can be saved, right? If Jesus be lifted up, he'll draw all men to him. Well, you and I, we can lift him up. He was lifted up on the cross, but we can lift him up in our lives. And so be in that place where you're always looking for these three P's to be active in your life. And notice what he said, verse 33. Here's, we read it, but here's his reply to the Lord. And he said unto him, Peter said unto the Lord, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Isn't it amazing what we think we can do when we're operating in the flesh? He said that, and he really meant it. He meant it. But the flesh is not no doesn't have means to overcome the spiritual, and our weapons is not flesh and blood. They're not carnal. Our flesh and our weapons have to be of the Lord. They have to be spiritual weapons. We have to fight the good fight of fight in the spiritual. We have to have on this whole wardrobe, if you would, of this soldier of Christ. We got to make sure that we put on this, and we're in that place of protection. And so here, Peter is, and he said, "Lord, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that." You know, we can all relate. We've all made promises to the Lord. And those promises somewhere along the way when the trouble come. But thank God for what? Conversion, for repentance. Just turn back and say, "Lord, okay, I tried it in myself. It didn't work. Now I want to try it your way. I want to do it with the anointing that abides in me. I want to do it by the word of God." Amen. And so we're in that place. Now notice, Jesus, he doesn't give up. I love how he just keeps trying to reach him. And he said, "I tell thee, Peter." Now mark it down in your mind's eye, highlight it in your Bible app. So Jesus says, "Okay, I'm going to have to talk to Peter. I can't talk to you as that hearing man. So I'm going to talk to you as Peter." Remember, Peter means a piece of the rock. We get hard-hearted when we start getting quarrelsome and get in strife and start thinking about ourselves rather than thinking about the Lord and his children and his plan for their lives. And so he said, "I'm going to talk to you, Peter." See, sometimes God, through Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, he changes his voice to you. Sometimes he talks so sweet he draws you. But sometimes he has to get our attention. He talks a little stronger. And that, you know, the book of Hebrews talks about how when they started resisting the Holy Ghost spoke stronger and stronger. Paul said that in the last days, the Holy Spirit would speak expressly, right? And that's where we're at. So the Holy Spirit is speaking. We need to be in that place where we hear him. And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou, that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." So can you imagine? Here Peter is. He's so full of himself at this moment. The Lord just told him that, and he had heard the Lord say so many truths. He had saw the Lord do so many miracles, but yet, I don't know about you, but I would like to think I would wanted to repent right then, wouldn't you? But that tells us that there's going to be times in our life the Lord will directly speak to us, but the devil has put something in our path. And we can't hear the Lord because of what he's placed, the devil has put in our path. So here, this strife and this jealousy and this who's the greatest, that's in Peter's life. And that's all he can see and hear. And so here's a warning. He could have avoided a great tragedy. He could have avoided a great trial and all those things, but he didn't do it. But God didn't change. Amen. So you and I, we may go through things and all of these things, but God has not, he will not change. I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and so you can hold on to that. Amen. So just hold that in your heart and say, "Lord, I'm willing. I'm growing. I'm going." Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. We're going to go with him. And as we go with him, we're going to grow. And as we grow, we're going to glow. Amen. We're going to get brighter and brighter for the way and the plan of the Lord. All right. So mark these scriptures down and hold them in your heart. But let's go back and let's read something. I want you to see something back in verse 32. Remember, he said, if you call him Simon, Simon, he said in verse 32, he said, "But Simon, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." So aren't you glad that Jesus is praying for you? Come on. Jesus is praying for us. Amen. Because he knows that we need that protection. We need that his provision. We need his promotion in our life. So Jesus doesn't change. You know, sometimes somebody aggravates us or disappoints us. If we're not careful, we change. Our attitude toward them or about them changes, or we go through a different season and we don't see them as we used to see them. We don't show them the same honor or respect that we used to show them. But Jesus is not that way. He's the same all the time. So he said, "I want you to know that I have prayed for you." And you and I, we need to rest in the prayers of the Lord. Amen. We need to be so encouraged that Jesus Christ himself is praying for us. Jesus is the great intercessor. Amen. So let's look at that. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. And let's look at the, Jesus Christ as intercessor in your life and in my life. And I believe it will help us so much. Look at verse 22, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. I appreciate you, Brother Jason, so much. Look what it says. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Jesus was made the guarantee. He was the bondsman of everything that's written in this New Testament. Come on, he's your bondsman. He's your guarantee. And you've got this better covenant, this New Testament that's established on better promises. And so we have everything that they had under the old covenant, but even greater, even more. Amen? And Jesus guarantees that he will back up his word. So look what it says. It says in verse 23, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. In other words, they've been a lot of high priests, but they all died a natural death. Verse 24, but this man, this Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. So Jesus, he died for us, but he is alive forevermore. And so we've got a great high priest, a Melchizedek, that is sitting on the throne on the right hand of the Father, and he's there. And look what he's doing, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Jesus is able to save you. Sozo in the Greek, it means to save. It means to heal, to deliver. It means to protect. It means to make your life, spirit, soul, and body whole. Save us to the uttermost, completely, entirely. That's what he wants to do for us. Amen? That's what that's his mindset for us. That's why he was trying to talk Peter, because the devil was wanting to demand him for trial. See, there's a trial going all the time in heaven. And you and I, if we're in the place where that blood is on our lives, then God the Father is just sitting there, case dismissed, case dismissed, case dismissed, case, because there's no case against you. Because the blood talks for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ does your speaking. Amen. You don't have to defend yourself. Come on. Yes, right, Brother Scott. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Now, look what he said. He said, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, at all times he's alive, to maketh intercession for them. Now, Jesus puts himself in our place. Now, that's what he told Peter. He said, Peter, I have prayed for you. Or he said, Simon, Simon, I've prayed for you. And that word prayed is a unique word. It means that Jesus bound himself with Peter and he interceded to God the Father just as Peter should have been doing. See, that's what we do for people who don't know that they need to pray. We intercede for them as they should be doing, but they don't know. Because they're in a blindness, they're in a hurt, they're in a place of separation, they're in a place of darkness. So you and I, we come and we stand with Jesus between them and God, a holy God, and we intercede. And we say, God, I know this is where they're at, but I know this is what you have for them. And we start bringing that intercessory prayer, and it's an odor that goes up before God, because it shows that our confidence is in that finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that smell goes all over the throne room. That's what we can do. So that's what Jesus was doing for Peter. He bound himself to Peter. In other words, all the pride, all the strife, all those things that Peter was feeling, Jesus took it and he put it between him and the Father. Oh, glory. And he ever liveth to make intercession for every one of us. That's only every breath. That's what he's thinking about. He's thinking about, how can I pray for you, Brother Corey? How can I pray for you? How can I make your life better? How can I make your every one of our lives better? How can I pray that I can get them into the Father's perfect will? That's so glorious, because he wants to protect us. He wants to provide for us, and he wants to promote us. Amen. All right. Notice what it says. Verse 26, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sin or from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Now, did you notice that? That this high priest who's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, look what it said in the first part, became us. Mark that down. Jesus became me. I'm a mean person in the flesh. I'm a sinner in the flesh. I'm saved. Now, I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about if I leave that place of obedience, if I leave that place of knowing what Jesus has done for me, this flesh is so mean. But Jesus became me. All right, so every weakness that I deal with, every weakness that God knows so well, Jesus took that weakness and He interceded for me. He stood between me and the devil. And He said, no, devil, you can't have him. No, I have got a plan. I'm going to protect him. I'm going to provide for him. And I'm going to promote him because I know when it's all said and done that he's going to what? He's going to do my will. Oh, glory. So that's where you and I have got to be. We've got to be in that place where we're seeing what Jesus has done rather than what we've done. Let it be counted good. Let it be counted finished. Amen. All right. For verse 27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once when he had offered up himself. So, you know, we had to have the high priest that before that was natural had to make atonement for themselves and then make atonement for us. But Jesus, he was sinless. He was sinless. And so we've got to get an attitude. Now, what I want you now to start doing, I want you to start telling the devil that there is no such thing as a sin problem. There's no. Jesus conquered sin. There is no. And so I've got to renew my mind to that truth. The only problem is a sinner problem. So I've got to live in the righteous way that Jesus has made for me, and I can't let the devil get a stronghold in my life trying to label these sins of my past to my present. Because my present doesn't know anything about the past. In Jesus' name, that's in the past. I'm a new creature. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus is ever living. And so see what he's trying to do with Peter here. He's trying to get him to let go of the past where he can come into the newness of life. We got to walk in the newness of life. Amen. It's for us. Now, there's a verse, I think it's Mark 16:7. This is how loving Jesus is. You know, the angels get the message about the resurrection of Jesus, and they tell the ladies there at the empty tomb, they said, hey, go tell the disciples and Peter. Is that right, Mark 16:7? Go tell the disciples and tell Peter that I'm risen. See, God's plan hadn't changed toward Peter. There's nothing you can do to change God's mind. He loves you with an everlasting love. You have a gifting and a calling that was from the foundation of the world, and you have the anointing to bring it to pass. And so we can't let these little things trip us up. Give them to Jesus. Keep giving them to Him and keep walking in that light. But go your way. Tell His disciples and Peter. Jesus wanted Peter to know, I'm not thinking about any of that. I didn't know it was going to happen because you didn't hear my warning. Brother Scott, he had a great vision for Peter, and he's got a great vision for you. Amen? All right. So let's go to John 21 real quick, and let's look at, we always got to be willing to hear from the Lord where we can be in that place to receive. Amen? Look at John 21 here, and Jesus, he appears to them where they were out fishing, and John tells Peter, he say, hey, that's the Lord, and so Peter has to put on his fisherman's cloak because he was out there naked, and so Jesus appears to him. Drop down to verse 14 for sake of time, but you can read the other in your home study time if you don't remember it. John 21:14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now look at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Now think about this. In Matthew 16, when Jesus asked all the disciples, he says, Who does men say I am? You know, and they said, Well, some say Elias, some say Jeremiah, and all of this. But Jesus looked and said, Who do you say I am? And Peter said, You are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the Most High God, is what he's saying. And so then Jesus makes that statement. He said, Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, Peter. He said, But my Father, by the Spirit, has revealed this. So, in other words, the moment that that revelation come to Peter, he had a word that he was going to have protection. He was going to have the provision. And he was going to have the promotion in his life because he was going to have a part of founding that church. Remember, that's what Jesus tells him. But as soon as he makes that great testimony of who Jesus is, what happens? The devil shows up. Remember? Because Jesus said, This is going to happen to me, and this is going to happen to me. And Peter said, No, Lord. No. That's not going to happen to you. Remember? And what did Jesus say? He said, Get thee behind me, because you're not entertaining the will of the Father. You're entertaining the work and the love and the things of the flesh. So, in other words, things are going to happen. The more that God is calling you and the more he's directing you, the more that you and I have got to be in the place and the provision of God for truth to flow in our lives and through our lives. We've got to have it. And so here, this calling was on Peter's life. And he said, Listen, you're still supposed to feed my sheep. But you can't do that if you don't love Jesus. Got to love Jesus first. He's saying, Peter, do you love me more now than you used to love yourself? Come on. Do you love me more? Who's the greatest? Jesus is the greatest. Amen. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon. Aren't you glad that he's back to calling him Simon? Son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, Feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. He broke him. He broke him. He went from being prideful to, Lord, you know my heart. You know the truth. You know me better than I know myself. Lord, thou knowest all things. See, when we get to that place of humility, that's when God can truly use us. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, we don't get it in the English, but if you'll study this out in the Greek, each one of these loves goes down. We go from the agape love to agapeo to phileo love. There's three different loves here, and it's just and when he got to that part, do you even love me like you'd love a friend, Peter? That's when it broke his heart. It opened up his heart. See, we need to be in the place where we know that Jesus is going to give us a word that'll take us to the next level and the next level and the next level every time. Amen? Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou was young. So he's bringing revelation to him because now he's ready to hear. See, God's got some stuff to say to some of you in here, but we've got to get ready to hear it. Amen? We've got to get to that place. He said, Verily, verily, I said to you, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch out thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. What's he talking about? Verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. That's the message from the beginning. Matthew chapter 4, remember he walks up to them on the beach. He said, Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The message hadn't changed. So he got Peter from one point A to point B. He got him a place where he was humble now. He was ready to be able to have everything God would have for him in his life, even though he continually learned all of his life and ended up being crucified upside down for Jesus. That's what tradition tells us. That's amazing, isn't it? Okay, just a couple more scriptures. Go with me to the book of Acts. Let's see this three P's active in Peter's life. Look here in Acts chapter 1, verse 15. I want to leave you with something that will encourage you and guide you and direct you. Acts 1 and 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number together were about 120. Now, I want you to think about what this took for Peter. Now, Peter publicly denied Jesus. And they were already strife and trouble in and amongst them. And Peter had this attitude issue. No doubt he had been, even though the people who's the most vocal and boisterous is the ones that's really the most insecure. So what I'm saying is, Jesus, he protected him, he provided for him, and he promoted him because he had that humble heart. He touched Peter and he gave him the ability not to feel inferior before around the other 119, but to stand up and to be the leader he called him to be. Y'all are leaders anointed by the Holy Ghost for the will of God. You don't have to be intimidated by anybody. There's nothing that you feel the anointing on that? God is grabbing you by the heart right now. There's no reason for you to be intimidated by anybody, any demon in hell, any lying spirit, because you've got the Holy Ghost inside of you that always lifts up Jesus. So he protected Peter. And he gave him that word. He said, listen, you're going to die for me way down here. See, part of the protection is knowing that God has got some place for us to go. Amen. God is running this thing. If we'll yield to him, the Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes. Amen. Now drop down to chapter 2 and look at verse 14. This is after the 120 got filled with the Holy Ghost. And look what it says. Verse 14, 2 and 14. But Peter standing up with the 11. So we have the disciples, the apostolic movement fixing to come out of this. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Man. So the Lord protected him. He provided for him. He gave him favor in this position, and he promoted him to be able to speak with the other 11, and they were in unity. How do we know they were in unity? It said because in verse number 1 that they were all in one accord in one place. No big I's, no little U's. Everybody's in accord. They're in unity. They're in oneness. And so Peter's able to stand up then, and he's able to be in the place of promotion because God wants to use him. He wants to use all of them to build his church. What happened? 3,000 people get saved. 3,000 people. Can you imagine if 3,000 people got saved in this community? It'd change everything. What was his name? Was it D.L. Moody or was it Charles Finney? One went to Rochester, New York. They preached a revival there, and it was such a powerful revival in the 19th century that every beer joint closed down. Every honky tonk, they didn't have any business. Everybody was in church. That can happen. All right. Go over quickly and let's look at a couple more just to leave you with a good taste in your mouth. Chapter 3, Acts 3 and 1. Now, Peter and John went up together. So there's that unity. In the temple at the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. Of course, we know the number 9 in Bible numerics means fruit of the Spirit. And so the fruit of the Spirit is in operation. They're in the place where they got the love and the joy and the peace and all of those things. But they're also the number 9 has to do with the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are fixing to be in operation. And you know the story. The lame man there, they minister to him. And as they minister to him, Peter uses this for another opportunity. Drop down to verse 12. Acts 3 and 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people and he said, "You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" So, see, Peter just keeps walking with the Lord, and he brings back unity within the leaven. He brings unity within the 120. He brings him out where he's able to preach a message with the others, and 3,000 people get saved. Now he's opening him up where healing is coming out of the ministry. And as healing comes out of the ministry, it brings those who had never heard the gospel before, who would receive it inside this temple, who were Jews, they didn't believe in Jesus. They helped crucify Jesus. All these things, they're hearing and seeing this message that the risen Savior is real. That's what God wants for us. That's why the devil's coming against you so hard, where you'll give up and pull back. You'll say, "Well, somebody will do it." Yeah, you're going to do it. Amen. We're going to do it together because God's called you. He's ordained you. You have this mission. Yes, there's trials, there's tribulations. Things look like they've changed in the flesh and the natural, but they haven't changed in the spiritual. You're more mighty now than you were then. That's the truth. Okay. Look at chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers and people and elders of Israel." So God keeps using it. See, we think seemingly they were just going to church. It's like a normal time. But God used it. This man gets his healing, but it isn't just about this man. It's about reaching everybody else. Thank God you're saved and I'm saved, but it's not just about us being saved. It's about God using your salvation to reach somebody else. Okay, drop down to, and look what it says, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with who? Woo! See, Jesus lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. People can tell. There's something different about you. There's an attitude. There's something that brings hope. There's something that brings encouragement. There's something that brings direction. And so we got to be in that place where we realize that everything is an opportunity. The devil says, "Oh, you better not." No, Jesus is going to protect you. The devil says, "No, you don't have it." No, Jesus is going to provide it. Amen. No, I'm not. I don't have the right education. I don't have the right opportunity. No, Jesus is going to promote you. Amen. They were ignorant and unlearned men, the Bible says, but they had been with Jesus. You've been with Jesus. Amen. All right, one more. I'll let you go. Look what it says in chapter 5. Verse 12, it says, "And by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were with all one accord," there's that unity, "in Solomon's porch." Remember this five-pillar porch, the number of grace. And it says, because of this unity, look what happens in verse 14. "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes." Multitudes. We're not talking about one or two or 10 or 20. We're talking about multitudes, not a multitude. We're talking about thousands of people. Multitudes were added, both men and women. Now look what happens. Verse 15. "And so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and they laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." Glory. God ain't changed. So what we've got to do, we've got to get these blinders off. We've got to get these limitations out of our life. And we've got to say, "Lord, I want to be hearing, hearing. I want to hear the next level. I want to walk in the next part of your plan. I want all the provision you have for me because I want to keep promoting you. See, it's not about us promoting it ourselves. It's about the Lord promoting us, but He's really promoting Himself. He's lifting Himself up into this lost and dying community. Amen? They don't have to die and go to hell. We can have such a light that it will touch them. It will draw them. It will cause them to see what was once invisible. It will cause them to be able to feel where their heart was so hard, rendered insensitive, that that callous comes off by the Holy Spirit because you love it off of them. Amen? Yes. You have to believe that. Are you ready for some promotion? Yes. Well, then you got to be ready first to receive His protection. Amen. Because you're going to go through a path, and that path is a straight, narrow way. But He's going to protect you all the way, and He's going to provide for you. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you understanding. He's going to give you what you need to be able to lift Him up. Amen. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank You for Your goodness, Your kindness, Your grace. I thank You for every person that's here. Lord, this is something that I know that You have ordained in our hearts, souls, and lives, and I thank You for it. I ask that You grab a host of our hearts, souls, and lives. Help us to be in that place of humility. Help us to be in that place of honor for You. Help us be in that place of hunger for the deeper truths that You'd have for us. And let us just submit to You. Let all pride, let all things that would separate it, let it be gone. Let it be put at the foot of the cross. Let it come under Your name, the name above all other names. Father, I ask right now that tonight let us see what You have for us. Let us see what You've called us into. There's some of us that have pulled back just a little bit, and You're wanting to draw us right now back into the center of Your will. You're wanting to stoke the fire. You're wanting to increase that understanding and direct us where we'll be in step, perfect step with You. Lord, let it be. We love You. We thank You for the power of who You are in our lives. We thank You that we have the victory through You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us right now to hear and receive, and help us to operate out of what we know in the Spirit and not what we understand and from the past in the flesh. We ask You in Jesus' name. Would you come make yourself an altar here tonight and say, Lord, thank You so much for Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You for the truth of Your word working in our lives. Thank You that You have something for us, that there's a plan, there's a vision, that we're going somewhere, that those things that we went through weren't for naught. They were for a reason, but You're going to use them for Your glory. Would You come and just let Him just impart the reality of what He's speaking to you personally, because I know He wants to talk to each one of us personally, but He wants to bring a truth corporately where we can walk in that perfect will and we can have that unity to reach numbers. One person can't do it, but you and I all together in Jesus, we make the majority. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your goodness and Your kindness, Your grace and Your mercy.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear Your invitation to let it all go. I see it now, laying it down. I know that I need You. I run to the Father, fall into grace. Done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father again and again and again and again. You saw my condition and had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. And I don't have context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, again and again and again and again. What has been in your sight long before my first breath, running into your arms, it's running to life from death. I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy's calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in. I know that I need you now. Come to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, the reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, again and again and again and again. Thank you.